We want to read today from the book of Genesis, chapter 2. If you want to turn there and stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to talk today about spiritual boundaries. I've seen boundaries here and there of various things. And so there's places we need to go, things we need to do. There's places to avoid. Amen. You could probably tell me there's people we need to avoid. No. All people need to hear the gospel, so we don't avoid people. But there are boundaries set back, spiritual boundaries set out in the Word of God I want us to look at today. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, let's start there. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, being nephesh. Okay. Verse 8, God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight, to good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 16, let's move on. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Father, I praise you, God, for your grace and your goodness, and I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit to just direct our steps, our thoughts, our understanding of truth of Scripture today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Spiritual boundaries. We set boundaries for our children to keep them from harm. You don't let your child play with a box of matches next to a can of gasoline. But we know that we have boundaries because God created us to stay away from certain things and to embrace other things. And I know that could preach and go on forever, but I won't preach forever. Even though I'll preach about eternity, I just won't take forever to say it. Okay. But in verse 7, we know that God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and his heart began to beat. All body systems begin to operate. That is amazing to me. If you study the body systems, and I don't, I'm not a doctor, but they do, and it takes many years to become a doctor in study. And I know you've probably been to a few. Wonder if they ever went to school. They did. But yet God caused everything in the physical body to begin to operate as he created it to operate. That's why we pray for the sick, because I know that God is able to put the body back to where he created it to be. Amen. But there, God formed man from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Amen. It wasn't just so that he could live physically, but I believe God put his spirit within humanity so that it would hunger for the things of God and realize that it needed God, that mankind needed God. And so we see this breath of God very strong in Scripture. And Jesus, in the book of John, chapter 20, Jesus said to them again, to his disciples, and this was before the day of Pentecost, and Jesus said, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, also I send you. And when he had said this, Jesus, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now this was different and subsequent and separate from Acts chapter 2, where they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But surely somewhere or another, God gave them something right before they left. For he left this world to ascend back into glory. And then he charged them to stay in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem, till you're clothed with power from on high. But this made man a spiritual being, with the capacity for serving and fellowshipping with God. God made you for fellowship with him. And since the fall of mankind, regeneration or salvation, the inbreathing of the Holy Spirit comes to people. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so God intended for you to be on speaking terms, communication terms with God. He created you that way. And so here in Scripture, God created mankind, right? But God gave one boundary that they were not supposed to pass over, and that they could partake of any tree of the Garden of Eden, including the tree of life, but they couldn't partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were strongly warned here, without there being no way to misunderstand it. God said, if you partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day you'll surely die. And we know that's exactly what happened, and they died spiritually and had to have a plan of redemption to be restored. For one restriction, forbidden fruit. This is a new year that we're facing, but the same sins exist. They may be called by different names, but still sin is the same. It's just against God. Same temptations exist, yes, partake of things that God has forbidden. And so we must set boundaries for ourselves and realize that evil is not good, and there's nothing in this world sinful system that's going to be good for you. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. And he who does the will of God will abide forever. So God tells us in His Word what He wants us to do, what He does not want us to do. And so I'm thankful that God spells it out in Scripture. We don't have to make up things. I've seen people make up things. And the make up sins they couldn't live against. They couldn't... Anyway, make rules that couldn't live by themselves, just as the Pharisees did. But a society today, no one wants boundaries. No one wants to be said, no, you can't do this. And so we find our streets today filled with people that are attacking and killing law enforcement officers. And by the way, law enforcement is of God. Romans 13, if you want to read about it when you get home. And rebellion against God and God-ordained authority. Because you see, the carnal sinful way leads to certain disaster. But spiritually good, evil is what we are. We're good in Christ, not good without Christ. And Paul says, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. It has to be God in there to make it good. People may be pretty good or sort of good, but you're not really good until God enters in your life and becomes your goodness. And so spiritually, we're either saved or lost, we're either good or evil. God makes it very simple. There's not several different ways. Amen. There's one way to God. You're either saved and on your way to heaven, or you're lost or on your way to hell. It's very simple as that. God made it simple so we didn't have to have a committee to figure it out and explain it. God doesn't need Congress. He doesn't need the Supreme Court. He is the final say. So we let God's Word be the final instruction. Praise the Lord. And so the choice between two, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life. And so the choice was life or death, fellowship with God or loss of fellowship with God, good or evil, heaven or hell. I don't have to. It's no great revelation for me to tell you that evil exists today in our world. It's good. It's worthy to note that the father of lies, which is Satan, John 8:44, the father of lies is at work to come against all truth and all righteousness, to try to corrupt and to lead people into a life of sinfulness and rebellion against God. But the father of lies is at work, and he will be at work until Jesus comes. And I look forward to the day when the devil and all of his evil angels, demonic spirits, are stuffed into the lake of fire forever. And sin will be abolished forever. God will create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. But the possibility of sin and separation from God is there today. The possibility of spiritual death also is there. The loss of fellowship with God is there. I've heard people say you can't lose fellowship with God, but you can. Because God has given us the power of choice. He's given us, you know, the moral power of choice, so we have that. And so we know that evil exists today. Rebellion is taught against all authority, against law, against parents, against God. And authority is what people resist. You know, you've heard the old, you probably got there when you was 13. You said, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Then when you got 16 or 17, you got a job, you found that whoever you work for is going to tell you what to do. And you find out, and people find out, well, I'll just go in business for myself and nobody will tell me what to do. But the people you draw a check from that pay for your work, they're going to tell you what you're going to do and what you're not going to do with their house or whatever you're doing. Okay, so it's just there. But we're always under the authority of God, and we don't tell God what to do. God tells us what to do. Man. And so God tells us. And God's boundaries here are very clear. Of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. There is no way that Adam and Eve could not have known exactly what Jesus said or what God said here. And God, without leaving any possibility of misunderstanding, told them in one verse of Scripture, they didn't have the Bible, but God told them audibly, no doubt, just leave this tree out of your diet. I don't care if it's the first of the year, leave it out of your diet. So God made boundaries here. And mankind was created good, upright. How could a sinless God create anything different than a perfect man? You say, well, he didn't do a very good job on me or you. Yeah, he did. It's just that sin didn't do a very good job on us. Mankind was made in the likeness and the image of God. He was made good. He was made upright. He was made to worship God. He was made with fellowship with God. And he did fellowship with God until he fell into sin. And so when God saves us, we are born again into new things. You know, you've heard it 1,000 times. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. But if you're not in Christ, you're not saved. But if you're born again of God's Spirit, you're in Christ. Praise the Lord. And so if anyone is in Christ, God puts new things in their lives. I've seen people that are saved from awful things and from sinful habits, but yet because they did not follow Christ, they fell back into the same sinful pattern that they were delivered out of and were sick of, or they wouldn't have gotten in to start with, but go back to the same silly thing that caused them to realize they need Christ. Man. And so man was created to have. And when a person is truly born again, God will give you new friends. God will give you new habits, new attitudes, new goals, new eternal goals, new life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus told Nicodemus, said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. And so God was telling Nicodemus, something's got to happen to you on the inside in order for you to be right and go to heaven. But the devil works hard to break fellowship between you and God. There's not anything that a Christian wrestles more with than to being faithful in their daily prayer and reading of the Word of God. I mean, every excuse that you can imagine will come along. You don't need to pray today. You got too much to do. You don't need to read the Bible today. You know, Dr. So-and-so is waiting on you. You don't need to walk here or walk there because there will be people to keep you out. So just don't read your Bible today. You can do without it for a day. And you don't need to talk to God today. He already knows everything anyway. So no. But pray and read your Bible every day, friend. Make it a daily habit. You need to hear from God. You say, well, God needs to hear from me. No, he doesn't. He already knows about you. Amen. And God doesn't need me and he doesn't need you. But he wants you and he wants me because he loves us with a love far beyond what this world can produce. I'm glad that he wants us. In his eternity. Amen. And God gave everything. He offered up his only begotten son. He gave heaven's greatest treasure so you could spend eternity with him. You don't want to reject what he's given. And so we know that the devil works to break fellowship between God and man. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't have any purpose in mind. The devil, let me just make you encourage you this morning. The devil hates you. Won't that make you feel good? It should. He hates you. He hates what you stand for. He hates every time you mention the name of Christ. He hates every time you read the Bible or you mention a scripture to somebody or every time you try to encourage somebody in the faith. The devil hates that. But God encourages us to do that. He encourages us to love one another, to lift up one another, to pray for one another. Matter of fact, the Word of God says, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. So that's what God wants us to do. Amen. We're not alone in this world. Amen. There's a lot of people just like you and I that are trying to serve the Lord. Amen. God's help, we can serve Him. But mankind is never complete without God. God would have never showed up if we could just be all we're supposed to be without Him. In the book of Colossians, it says, chapter 2, verse 8, says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. According to the principles, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So my friend, don't let anybody cheat you, telling you don't need God. You need God. For in Him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10 says, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. So we're never really complete until we have God in our life. Never really complete until God is in charge of your life. And so we put Him in charge. Many times we say, well, you know, I'm saved. A lot of times we identify being saved as just by sometime in our past saying the sinner's prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for the sinner's prayer. That's good. But when you give your life to Jesus, you're saying, basically, God, I want you to take charge of my life. I can't do this. I'm not doing this well myself. Take charge of my life. Be in control of my life. Help me with my choices. Help me to go the right direction, do the right things. And that's what God wants, what truly being born again means. You've made the choice to make Jesus Lord of your life, not just to save you from hell, to be in charge of your life. Amen. You say, well, I want independence in my life. To some degree, I do too, but I don't want independence from God. No, I need Him. Okay? And so, God wants to be in charge of our life. And let's just understand this, that any time you can call on God in trial or in trouble or whatever, you can call on God. When there's no one else to help, God can help. Amen. Problem is, we should call on Him first to help. Amen. God tells the prophet Isaiah, He says, when you walk through the waters, I'll be with you. When you walk through the floods, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. So we can know whatever we walk through, we're not going to walk through it alone. My friend, does it mean something with you to be connected with God? Amen. I hope so. I'm glad that I'm not alone. When I face trial, I'm not alone. When you face trial, you're not alone. When unexpected things happen and tragedy happens in your own family and you hear it happening to everybody else, but you didn't think it could happen to you. But I want to tell you something. In that moment, God is still there. He's not forsaken you. He's not left you. He's going to walk you through this thing and you're going to come out victorious on the other side. Amen. Sorrow may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. So you can walk through any trial, any trouble, and times when you don't know what to say or what to do or how to act. God, the Holy Spirit within us, allows us to have communication, fellowship with God. Amen. Pastored a man one time. This particular man, I pastored him. He said, you know, several times a day I just have to stop. He hadn't been saved very long. I just have to stop and talk to God. I said, my brother, you're doing the very right thing you should do. Anytime you feel like you need to stop and talk to God, just stop and talk to Him. You don't have to talk to God in King James language to get His answer. You may not talk to Him in this, thou shouldest and wouldest and doest and all that, but anyway, you can talk to God. Don't get me wrong, I love the King James Bible. But anyway, you can talk to God anytime. And God can talk to you. God talks to you through Scripture, through the Word of God. God may put impressions in your mind, speak to you in that way. God may speak to you through events that happen in your life. Yeah, I know He has me. Praise God. And Adam and Eve here, they knew what God said. They knew what disobedience would do. They could not say they had not been warned, and they would be held responsible for the choice that they made. And you and I are also responsible for choices we make in life. You can't say the devil made me do it. He may have suggested it to you. He may have tempted you with it. But a lot of people push it off, say, well, the devil made me do it. Man, you need to tell the devil to get lost. He's got to, in the name of Jesus. But you know, a question of the free moral agency of God is in theology today. It's always been there. And there's a theology that says, you know, that God has already preordained everything for you either to be lost or saved, and God has put it there and you don't have a choice in the matter. Listen to what Scripture says on that, okay? Choose this day whom you will serve. The Bible says that. Did God give us a free moral agency? I believe He did. Choose this day. God told Joshua, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my family, my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. I think that God made us to be free moral agents to make our choices who we're going to serve. That it's not already made up that certain ones are going to heaven and certain ones are going to hell, and God's made it that way. No, God says, choose this day whom you will serve. He says, I've set before you life and death, therefore choose life. My friend, I choose Christ. He's life. He's forever. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. He's all in all. He's what we need, who we need. Amen. And so God has made it where we can choose. Praise the Lord. Adam and Eve, their boundary consisted of resisting one tree in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God has set boundaries for our protection. What good has breaking the Ten Commandments ever done for humanity? Thou shalt not steal. I'm not going to go through all ten, so you don't get worried. When has theft ever helped anybody? Say, well, I got what I wanted. Yeah, but if you got caught, you got to go where you didn't want to go. Should have gone to jail. And what good is committed? Thou shalt not commit adultery. What good has that ever done a marriage? I heard a psychologist, not a Christian psychologist, say one day, he told a woman, said, what you need in your life is to go have an affair. I don't think that's ever helped any marriage, has it? No. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When has it ever helped any conversation? I know you hear it all the time. When has it ever helped any conversation to put God's name in there and blame Him for this? And to God has condemned you for this. No. Let's don't use God's name in vain. God's name is a holy name, a powerful name, a mighty name, a true name. And so, breaking the Ten Commandments has never really helped anybody. And God placed them there in restrictions for you and I for our good, not so they wouldn't be free to do what we wanted to do. But God put the Ten Commandments there to restrict, to identify evil and sin, and to restrict us from what sin could do to our life. Out of love for humanity, God has set boundaries. Also, we should set spiritual boundaries for ourselves. We know where we're weak. King David was a man of God. Before he became king, he was hunted by King Saul. And over again, he was hunted by King Saul. And Saul and David had the opportunity to destroy King David or King Saul various times. I get that right. Anyway, matter of fact, he was in a cave, and Saul was there tending to business, and David came upon him, took his sword and cut off a piece of his garment. Saul never knew what happened. And his men said, there's King Saul, David, this is your chance, destroy him. As a matter of fact, one of the Abishai, he said, I can strike him one time, I won't have to strike him twice. And you'll be rid of this. But David's words were, I cannot stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. He wouldn't kill Saul. So David had to set a boundary, and God set a boundary for him. And he abode by when it would have been convenient to do the other. And we should set boundaries for ourselves. When we know places, things, and people we are spiritually weak around, just don't go there. There's things we got to keep our distance from. Things that promote sinful things. You got to stay away from some TV programs. You got to stay away from some internet things you can call up on the internet. Amen. Not everything you call up on the internet is a call from God. Places and things that draw us away from Christ. Let me give this illustration. Years ago, a woman not in here in this church, so it'll make you feel better. Her name was Thelma. And Thelma was a case. And she lived a very reckless, sinless life, and God had saved her and given her deliverance from many things. But she would go into a time when she'd become blue or discouraged, and she would revert back to some of her former sinful behaviors. And when she would fall and sin, she would fall long ways, bad. She would get drunk. And then she'd find somebody that could give her some pot to smoke. And then she'd sleep with an old boyfriend. And she'd fall under huge conviction, then she would come to Norma and pour out all the things that she had done. And she said, I'm not worthy for forgiveness. I'm not worthy to be restored. I just can't live this life. I can't do it. And God won't forgive me this. And of course, we just prayed her through and prayed with her and said, yo, God will forgive you. God will restore you. God will forgive your sins. And God will do that. But you've got to set boundaries for yourself now. And there's places you can't go. There's people you can't see. There's things you can't do and be a Christian and still have the victory and still be on your way to heaven. And she continued on and lived for God for many years. And to my knowledge, still living for God. I hope so today. And so there's times that we have to set boundaries. These things we can't, that are not conducive to the Christian life. We've got to, number three, pursue what is right. And you know we're told what to run from in Scripture. You say, well, I'm not scared of anybody, so I'm not going to run from anything. My friend, there's things you need to run from. Paul tells his son Timothy in the faith, he says, flee youthful lust. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. My friend, if you're in the pursuit of sin, you're not going to have faith, love, or peace in your heart. So you got to run, flee youthful lust. I remember years ago, a bourbon stirred evangelist, can't remember his name now, you probably do. He said a man came to him one day and he said he had preached, he was saved and everything. And a man came to him and he said, I'm tempted. And the evangelist said, well, everybody's tempted. He said, are you tempted more at one place than you are others? And the man said, well, yes. Are you tempted more at certain times than you are others? He said, yes. Are you tempted by a certain woman more than others? He said, yes. And so the guy responded to him and said, how'd you know all that? And the evangelist said, you just told me. Then he told him, he says, the Bible says, flee youthful lust, run from it. If you can't handle it, just don't go there. Don't spend time with things you're weak in. Don't spend time with people that you're weak around. Amen. He says, just go, just run, just flee youthful lust. But he said here in the same verse, he says, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. My friend, we need to be in pursuit of those things. In pursuit of righteousness, in pursuit of faith, pursuit of love, pursuit of peace. No sinful pursuit will ever bring any of these, love, peace, or joy, or anything good. We go to church, we attend revivals, we should. We engage our mind in the spiritual and not the carnal. But failure to pursue spiritual things result in us overstepping our boundaries and will hurt us spiritually. Here are only two trees. One represents life, the other death. They could have taken of the tree of life. As a matter of fact, when they sinned, God sent them out of the Garden of Eden, and He guarded the way to the tree of life, lest they should eat the tree of life and live forever in their sin. It's a merciful thing that God did to keep them out of the garden. Okay? Fourth, God made boundaries for the natural. I know you know that. So I told you again so you wouldn't forget. Proverbs 8:29 says, when He assigned the sea, the ocean, its limit, that the water should not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, without God holding the waters back, they would flood the earth again. Without these, the oceans would overflow the earth, yet God promised Noah that this would never happen again, regardless of what global warming people tell you. Jeremiah 5:22 says, Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, who have placed the sand as a bound for the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it? Although its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. God has set a decree where the sea has to wait, has to stop. My friend, God is in control of this world. He didn't have to spare it. He didn't in Noah's time. He's judged it. He'll judge it again the next time by fire. But do we really stand in a place to question God? We looked to the book of Job. One fellow said, I never did put in an application for a job. But the book of Job says, God, he questioned God, and you read throughout the book. I don't like to read the book of Job for very long. And it's 42 chapters. It gets discouraging after the first 37. But in the end, it's good. And Job questions God, why have you allowed me, God, to go through this sickness? How have you allowed me to lose my wife and my children, all my camels and donkeys? How I've lost everything I've ever worked for. God, why did you let this happen to me? And so he has many, many questions. And then he gets to the end and God says, okay, Job, you sit down and I'm going to question you. And he says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? There's many things there in Job 38. Or who shut in the sea with its doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment. This is God talking to Job. And thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said to the sea, this far you may come, but no further. Here your proud waves must stop. God set boundaries for the sea, that they wouldn't overflow the world again. The fountains of the deep wouldn't be broken up, and all the water under the earth wouldn't come up and cover all the mountains and the seas, or mountains and the hills. And so, my friend, God has put restrictions on us so that we could have fellowship with Him. If you come to God with all your heart, you won't be restricted from fellowshipping with God. Let us fellowship with our Maker. God will help us make choices that please Him. Because you see, temptation comes to everybody. I don't care how spiritual they may think they may be. There's a temptation there to sin. From everybody. It comes, everybody's tempted. Even Jesus was tempted to sin. He didn't ever yield to sin. That's the difference between He and us. But there's a promise of God in there that we don't have to be separated from fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. You've never been tempted of anything that's not common. Somebody before you has been tempted of the same thing. We say, well, you don't know, God don't know what I'm going through. Yes, He does. He knows it better than you know it. God is faithful. He is, my friend. He's faithful. He's provided a way of escape. He's provided alternatives. He's provided everything that you need to overcome temptation. But God will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Our responsibility is when He makes a way of escape, our responsibility is to take it. Amen. Judas in the New Testament, he didn't take the way of escape. And even though God, Jesus Himself, warned him many times, He says, woe be to the man who betrays me, is better if that man had never been born. But Judas went ahead anyway, and by his own choice, denied his Savior, and was lost forever. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. So God has given us the power of choice, and it's God's will that we choose Him. Amen. Choose God and live forever. Let's obey His spiritual boundaries. Let's not be led astray. Amen. For God cares for you. God loves you with a love that's far beyond what we're able to completely understand. But we know enough that He loves us to save us from sin. He loves us enough to save us from eternal destruction and give us eternal life instead. My friend, God doesn't want you to burn forever in the devil's hell. God wants you to enter the gates of heaven. God wants you to live for Him and serve Him where there's no peace, where there's no sin, sorrow, sickness, or death. That's what God wants for you. That's what God has prepared for you. Amen. Eternally to be in the presence of the Almighty where He can walk with you and talk with you. We can talk with this God. Fall before His throne and cry, holy. Amen. Have fellowship with Him like mankind had before the world, before sin entered the world. Amen. So, don't fail to set your spiritual boundaries. Let God help you. His word will help you. Amen. Praise the Lord.